What up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Bailcast. I am Bart.
I'm Gio. And we're still in our rooms.
Yes, but I'm no longer in quarantine. We are just filming here because Grandma has not come back yet. So it is part of our 5 a.m. series. But I promise next week we will be back in the studio. And I am actually really, really excited to be back in there.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm just glad you're out of that room.
Yeah.
Because you were in there for a solid 10 days all by yourself. I love all the content you've been posting online, too. Like, with your little Ninja Turtle buddy.
Yeah.
I think that's freaking cute. Like, the one where you guys are hugging.
Yeah.
And it's like, you goodbye to him. I'm like, ah. I like people's comments. They're like, does Gio know about this? Or like, they definitely smashed.
He's gone forever.
I mean, hey, we could change it. You could stay there if you want.
No, I feel so bad for this room. I feel like this room is like that underwear that you wore for 10 days straight when you went camping.
Well, we're going to get the carpet steamed. We're having cleaners come this weekend. So
Thank God you don't have to
feel bad for it.
Thank God.
What did you do in there?
No, it's just because, you know, when you're like, when you live normally, right? Like you spread your traffic and you spread you yourself around a lot. Like you go from your bedroom to, I don't know, the living room to outside to driving around. Like you spread your presence a lot. But for 10 days straight, I was just in here.
Did you spread your presence on the floor?
Oh, I try to clean it up, but it just doesn't come off.
All right.
So, you know, like, so your presence is like all up in here. I felt like since I was also trying to sleep as much as I can, I felt like my entire side of that bed over there was completely dented. Like I'll be laying and as I roll over to this side, I can feel my body come up. Like there's a 2-inch dent on that side.
No, there's not.
I mean, there might not be anymore, but there was.
Oh,
And then I can just see like things getting worn down from my feet walking all over.
Like what? Wait, in 10 days, you're being exaggerated.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious.
What did you wear down? Is the carpet?
Probably the carpet. Like there's like little splatters here and there. Just from
Shut up. I got that room cleaned because we're showing our house and we're trying to sell it. And what splatters?
Like just like water splatters. There's like little things here and there. You just don't even know. You know?
Disgusting.
Yeah. Like it's just wear and tear. It's regular. Like, you know, I have that blue stain on the duvet cover. I think I unlocked the pen and the pen just slipped out of my hand and I think it just landed on the bed. Like you just get wear and tear, you know, just wear and tear. And that's just very normal.
How many times did you jack off in there?
I jacked off once just because I did have to see if my dick was working. And then
Why wasn't it working?
I don't know. You get scared if you don't have morning wood for like 3 days, 4 days straight.
So you were like, I got to test this out.
Yeah. And then I was like, oh, okay, it works pretty good. and then after, I was like, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep.
Is that one of the times you're like, I'm going to take a nap?
No, I took naps like every day, trying to heal.
Because you jacked off every day, huh?
No, one time.
I'm just kidding.
I wish I had the energy to.
Now you looked pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
But you didn't get any of that wear and tear on anywhere, did you? You little nasty.
That one? Only the carpet.
Stupid liar.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like wear and tear literally everywhere. There's like, you know, the toothbrush splatters on the windshield. I mean,
I was like, what the fuck is going on?
There's that. And then like the soap, you know, once it starts getting soaked up with water, it gets softer. So on the soap holder, like there's like some soap residue. Like you just... It just gets worn out in here. Just like,
yeah,
you can't be in a place for a long time. It's just going to get worn out.
Yeah. Well, you're out now. So that's nice.
Yeah. This room can finally breathe a little bit. I bet this room doesn't even smell very good. Because, you know, like if you're in a room all day, that room just smells like human. You know?
No, I'm in my office all day and it smells so good. Every time I walk in there, I'm like,
no, but you're not quarantined in there.
Oh, I see.
You'll come out for food.
That's true.
You walk around. You're not in there 24. I was in here for 240 hours straight.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like if you're in
here, I had to keep checking in on you. Yeah, because I'm like, damn, this is a long time to be completely on your own.
Yeah.
I mean, I would visit you like right out that window.
Yeah.
You know, me and Tycho, I would try to put on a little show for you.
I know. I always enjoyed it.
Yeah. But I'm like, damn, I don't know. I don't know what I would have done.
I think I was kind of prepared for it because I was the only child.
Oh.
So like, this is my life.
But I think it might be different. Like once you've tasted blood, you know what I mean? You're just like, oh man, I want to go back to that.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely feels like that. But I also think like just because I was the only child, like my whole life, I had to figure out ways to entertain myself.
I see.
So that was definitely helpful, I guess.
Yeah.
Being the only child from a broken home.
Ha ha, you're a loser. I'm just kidding. Yeah. But was there anything that you took away from this whole thing? Like anything that you learned where they're like, because you had so much time on your own, you know, to think and to reflect. Did any of that happen? Or were you just like, I'm just trying to survive?
I did. So one of the things that I really, that, you know, we had Big Boy on JK News, and he was saying that like to make jail time pass, of course, this is nothing close to jail, right?
Not even slightly.
But the concept is the same where in jail time, like when you think you have, everyone thinks they want free time. Until you really get free time, right? Everyone thinks, I'll do this when I'm free. I'll do that when I'm free. I'll learn how to sing. I'll learn how to dance. I'll learn how to write poetry, right? And if you think about it, during the first hardcore lockdown, everyone had a whole month to themselves. And how many people actually came out with
a new skill?
A new skill. And how many people came out with more depression or like some sort of like mental, like, ailment or something, right? And so what Big Boy was saying, like to make time go by in jail, the number one thing to do is to have a routine. If you have your routine, you have purpose in your life and you know what to look forward to, and the time actually goes by. But if you wake up and you say, I have all the freedom in the world, you actually don't do jack shit. So for him, he was like, wake up, make my bed, brush my teeth, do this many push-ups every hour on the hour or do whatever, right? And time actually went by and I was like, oh shit, that's actually very militaristic. And so the only thing that I can really relate that to is boot camp. And in boot camp, there's something to do literally every like 10 minutes. And because of that, you like, if you think normal school having six periods is a lot, think about having like 15 periods a day. That's what boot camp is like. Like you learn everything. And so that's kind of how I scheduled it. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to be in here for 10 days. So I need to figure out some sort of routine so I don't just turn into some slob. So every day I tidied up the room. Like every day I woke up, the first thing I did is brush my teeth and take a shower so that the first thing that I feel is not that icky. I just peeled myself out of bed feeling. And also I had chills that night. So I'd be like really sweaty and I would have double blankets because I felt really, really hot. So the first thing I did, get up, brush my teeth, shower so that, okay, cool. I feel like a new man. And even though if I'm sick, at least I don't feel as sick as I actually am.
Right.
The next thing is I would tidy up the room. Anything that wasn't in order, I put it away, took all my dirty clothes, put it in a specific corner. And even the clothes that I put my dirty clothes, they were folded. It wasn't just like a pile. I wasn't like a college boy. And then, yeah, and then every day I would take out the trash, put all the dishes, put in a certain way. I made my bed every day. And I'd open up the windows. It was like every single day I had a routine. And then, so it actually didn't feel like an eternity because by certain activities, it'd be 10 a.m. Then I knew you were going to get me lunch. And then by certain activities, like after I take my nap, I knew it was going to be around 4 now. And then I would do this and it'd be like 5. And then at night, every night I try to sleep at like 10.
Nice.
Yeah. So like I had like,
that's a good observation.
Yeah. Even my TV show binging, it was on routine. Like I'm not going to waste my brain on not learning anything until after like 3.
Yeah.
So I didn't just wake up and start binging Cobra Kai, which I watched both seasons. I watched it like at night, you know, in the morning, I'm like, I don't really feel like working right now because my brain still kind of hurts. Let me watch some cooking shows, learn how to cook. Or I,
that's why. Because yesterday we got Taiwanese food because you just brought it up out of nowhere. And I'm like, where did this come from? It's such a random craving, but it makes sense.
Yeah. Like even in the morning, I was like, let's try to learn something. So I ended up buying Masterclass. And so it was just like, you know,
You bought it. I bought it for you. You paid for it again.
I thought you paid it for yourself.
No, I got you one.
Oh, you did? I got it again then. I support them.
Awesome.
Yeah. And then the final thing that came out of it is once I started feeling actually good and I didn't have like the brain fog of sickness, I started working on my children's book. You know, I always wanted to talk about that. Yeah. I mean, I talked about it in the vlog. So you guys got to stay tuned for the quarantine vlogs. There's like a whole bunch of them. The vlog almost
every day. They're out now.
Yeah. But yeah, towards the end, I actually finished my first draft of my children's book and it's called, Monkey and the Cheese. And, so I was actually really productive towards the end, which I'm really, really happy for. Cause that's something that I really wanted to work on this year before the whole, like pandemic and lockdown hit. And that's when we had to really focus on just the existing businesses. And I didn't have any free time to work on anything else. But this was like a blessing in disguise where I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to be in here. Might as well start working on something else that has like no stakes.
How freaking dumb were we in 2019 going, 2020 is our year. I could feel it. Literally all of us said that.
Everyone. Like
all of us in the world.
It's a nice big round number too.
Yeah. So it's like super fresh start.
So even for me, I was like, you know, like one thing I've been wanting to do so bad is jiu-jitsu, right? So I'm like, perfect. That's going to be a big, perfect round year. So every year of jiu-jitsu that I do, I know when I'll start, you know? So if it's like 2016, I know I've done jiu-jitsu for 6 years now. I mean, in 2026, I know I've done jiu-jitsu for 6 years now because I started in 2020. But boy, did 2020 fuck people up.
Still fucking people up.
Yeah.
So what prompted you to want to write a children's book? Cause that's like, so out of left field for a lot of people.
Oh, right. Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause all the thoughts are in my head. So nobody knows.
I don't ever even know.
Yeah, that's true. Well, for me, it's, you know, I just feel like as the evolution of the human mind and of the human species, like one thing that is very, very beautiful about this generation is our access to information, right? So if you talk to like a 12-year-old from this day, like the level of woke and the level of information that kids know these days and how emotionally in tune and intelligent they are, it is far beyond what we had. You know, we were like dumb cavemen compared to the kids of these days. They're so well informed. They know so much and they're in tune with their own emotions. And I think that's really freaking awesome. The one thing that I do see, though, is with the information, a lot of times it's, and you know, the phrase like analysis paralysis or over analysis is paralysis. So yeah. Kind of like, just like when you have too many things on the menu at a restaurant, it's really hard to pull the trigger and go, let me just get the spaghetti and meatballs. You know, so that's one thing that I feel like the lessons that are lacking is me seeing a lot of kids kind of with this overabundance of information at one time. Like they literally learn algebra 1 through calculus in 1 year, that when it comes time to solve like math equations, they're like, oh shit, like which one am I supposed to use? Should I use trigonometry first? Should I use calculus first? Should I use algebra first? Like what's the mindset I need to do? And they end up getting frozen. And then the whole thing kind of backfires because they're frozen. There are a lot of kids, like right now the rates of depression is like at an all-time high because there are a lot of kids that know what they're supposed to do and know how to do it, but they're not doing it, you know, because of the whole paralysis part. So for me, I feel like the one benefit I had from my generation, and I would even include probably Gary Vee in my generation, is...
What? Interesting. Isn't he like 10 years older?
Yeah, he's still my generation.
I see.
Cause like, you know, everything's exponential, you know? So things that are like only 1 year apart in 2030, like 2030 and 2031 is probably going to be so far apart versus 2000 and 2010 might generally be the same, you know? So I would even include like Gary Vee in my generation. And one thing that I really like from our generation is we were just a bunch of dumb trucks. We just moved forward, you know?
Yeah.
Like we moved forward and we made the mistake, and the mistake taught us our lessons that we need to learn, and we go, okay. And then we just, you know, we just kept moving forward. And that's one.
Would you say we just kept on trucking?
I would say we kept on trucking.
Okay.
So like, that's one virtue that I really, really like. And I'm like, you know what, like what are some of the lessons that I would like to pass on to Taika, also, AKA entire generation who, they don't lack information, that's for sure, because they have internet, right? They don't lack information, but maybe an entire generation that haven't been emphasized to blood, sweat, and tears. That's the number one thing, you know? It's not what you know, right? It's what you do and how hard you push, right? It's how much heart you have. Like the best basketball players aren't the ones with the highest IQ. They're the ones that shoot the 2,000 free throws after practice. And so that's kind of what made me want to write a children's book. Like, cause I learned a lot from children's books, you know, like with like the Three Little Pigs and even the Tortoise and the Hare. Like there's always,
what did
like,
you learn from the Three Little Pigs? I didn't take any lessons away from that.
Oh, I just learned that if you're a badass.
Don't trust strangers.
No, if you're a badass wolf, like even three pigs can't, even three pigs are scared of you. That's what I think.
Okay. So you didn't learn anything either.
Well, I did. It's because I didn't think I learned what the author wanted. Because I think that what the author was trying to say, because you know how they made houses out of different material?
Yeah.
Finally, they made it out of brick and the wolf couldn't burn it, couldn't blow it down.
Yeah.
So the goal is to teach. I think the actual moral is like, if you have a strong foundation, it can protect you. But what I got from it was like, I'm like, wait, you got three pigs and you guys can just come out and jump his ass? I'm like, man, these pigs are whack. You know,
so you sided with the villain.
Yeah, I sided with the wolf. I was like, man, I'm like, imagine three wolves came and then you have this brick house. These wolves blow that brick house down. So I mean, I learned a lot from like, you know, stuff like Tortoise and the Hare. So I'm like, I want to write a book of something that I can pass on to like Taika and his generation, you know, like some of the values and virtues that I like about just pushing forward. And because like, you know, Tortoise and the Hare, you learn what you think is a shortcut now actually fucks you at the end. The person that you think is going slow, but he's just going one step at a time is the true winner.
Yeah. You know?
And I love that about that story, because everyone always wants shortcuts, but you end up being Tortoise, you know, the wasted talent. And so I wanted to create a story that kind of teaches like putting forth effort and earning the things that you want. Like if you really want something, you have to put forth the physical effort to earn it. And that's kind of
where awesome.
The whole thing came from. Yeah.
That's super awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
I was definitely surprised when you presented the idea. I was like, what? Really? But real quick, let me pause you. I want to introduce our sponsor.
Shout outs to one of my favorite sponsors, because my own personal boxing coach is part of this company, Fight Camp. Most workouts are not that exciting. They're not, you know, sometimes it feels like a chore that you just want to get through it. But you know, it's good for you, so you have to do it, but it doesn't stimulate you. So what is more exciting and engaging than learning how to box and kickbox? And you could do it in the comfort of your own home. And that's exactly why people are saying that Fight Camp is the only workout that they've stuck with during this whole time. Because if you want something to work, you can't feel like a chore. It's got to engage you. It's got to pull you in. It's got to make you want more every single time. And if you've ever done boxing or kickboxing or thought about learning how, but you're too busy or just can't access a good boxing gym, or even right now, you know, a lot of the gyms are shut down. You definitely need to check out Fight Camp because they provide everything to you to start boxing from home. That means amazing at-home boxing equipment, and I've seen it is really, really good, along with new boxing and body weight workouts released every single week. It's the perfect at-home workout for anyone, and you could store everything literally in the corner of someplace. So we have
have it behind this wall over here.
Yeah, we have a little corner. We just put our bag and our gloves right there. If you need it, you pull out, and it's something that the whole family can get on together. It's awesome. It's great for yourself. If you're interested in even the sport, if you're intimidated to go to a gym, you can build like 6 months or a year worth of basics on your own. This is freaking awesome. And I love it. And it's just really, really fun. And you're learning not just how to work out, but also a skill. And right now, Fight Camp is offering flexible financing for as low as 0% APR and $0 down. And right now, as a limited time holiday offer, get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with every Fight Camp package. Just go to joinfightcamp.com/bail. That's BEAW. That's right. Get free shipping and gift valued up to $109 with your purchase. Bring an authentic boxing and kickboxing gym into your home or office with Fight Camp.
And we're back. Yeah, I was, you had pitched this to me a couple years back. And I'm always so used to you just kind of coming out of left field with stuff. But this one was really left field because at that moment, you had a lot of physical goals that you wanted to achieve, specifically like Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And you wanted to, you know, hit certain numbers at the gym.
Do the marathon. So,
yeah, exactly. So they were all physical feats that you were trying to accomplish. But then when this one came out, I was just like, oh, like it wasn't left field in terms of like, it was unexpected that you would want to teach things to kids. Cause I mean, you do that for a living where you're constantly just sharing your experiences and like the lessons and what you took away from it. So you're kind of indirectly teaching, but the children's book portion of it, cause I thought it would be for like YouTube or something else, but the fact that you wanted a physical book, I'm like, oh shit, I saw you writing your biography before I saw you going into the children's space. And then the shit that we talk about, you know, like it's, we're not very family friendly brand. So for you to want to go into the children's space, I'm like, oh shit, this is interesting. All right. That's cool.
Yeah. I think, I feel like I'm a writer, right? Like when, even with the skits and stuff, like, one of our favorite things about our skits was there's always like these lessons like packaged up in like these really crazy and wacky, funny videos. And that's something that I really enjoy. And I think that's the creative part of things that I really enjoy about writing. Cause I think the difference is like, if you have a life coach, the life coach tells you straight up what it is, right? So it literally tells you straight up what you need to do. And it's spoon fed to you. But the things that I like about stories is the lesson is embedded in the story. And so it's up to the viewer to read it and listen. And then they have their own conclusion.
Yeah. They take away what they need to take away.
That's why I took away that if there was three wolves, these pigs would be scared. So like, that's what I liked about it, you know? And I think that's kind of like almost, it feels kind of going full circle where we start off with skits, writing and embedding these lessons, then going to like JK News and a podcast where a lot of the insights that we share are a little bit more direct, even the vlogs, a little bit more direct, a little bit more on the nose. And then now it's kind of going back into how can I package these lessons into more like a fantastic world?
Yeah.
A fantastic world that's not even that fantastic because there's so many really cool like little Easter eggs because it's based on our family kind of, you know, like I call the monkey dude all the time. And then the monkey dude is the main character. And we all know Taika loves to say cheese. And he always talks
about yeah, that's
he always says how he loves his cheese, even though he hates eating cheese. So yeah, like,
that's
so,
just a funny word for him to say.
Yeah. So there's, it's called Monkey and the Cheese.
That's so cute. I'm excited to see the book. Do you know when you'll release it?
So I think right now what I'm going to do is I'm going to try to read it every other day and then try to fine tune it because it actually rhymes and stuff, which is pretty cutie. So I'm going to fine tune it. And then once I have like all the text down, like locked in, and then I know what's going to go on every single page, then I can have like an illustrator come in and make all the pictures and stuff. It's actually
a
lot more work than I thought, because you think of like a children's book, right? And it's like literally like two lines or maybe four lines per page, like Cat in the Hat. But now if you give it to the illustrator, you got to write paragraphs per page of the illustration direction. You know?
Oh, like, really? You looked it up already? Like how the, what the process is like?
No, I'm just assuming from my own, you know, like when we're creating graphics and assets, like digital assets for Barbell, it's like, I'm like, what you see on Instagram or what you see on the website, like a website banner, it's like literally I write a bunch of stuff. Put the protein powder in the far right corner, desaturate it. I want the font to go over here and it's going to read like 10% off. Like, you know, you kind of have to like give all that. So I'm just assuming if I work with the illustrator of some sort, I'm going to have to give all that direction. Because if I say, hey, I need you to draw a monkey, it's like, how realistic is it? Is it a 3D monkey? Is it like a very basic South Park looking monkey? You know, so I just figured there's going to be like so much stuff. So there's way less on a page compared to a novel.
Yeah.
The amount of direction that you have to get or creative direction that you have to give, I think is far more than a novel, because on a novel, you probably don't even have to give that much. You probably tell the publishing company, I like this font. It's very easy on the eyes and I want the paper to be like a light beige, probably something like that. You know,
I think that's standard. I don't even think you pick that stuff.
Oh, you don't?
I don't know. Never written a book. No, but yeah, it's just so interesting. Because I saw you writing an autobiographical, you know, before anything else. Because you're just, your life is so crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is it a biography? When it's about yourself, written
autobiography.
About yourself. Oh, okay.
I do have an autobiography idea too, but I think that's going to take a minute. That's going to take some time when I actually have some free time. So probably like after we moved to Vegas for a few years and I actually have time to sit down and think about things, because that's going to, and because kind of like the creative realm, I don't want to, what is it called? I don't want to make it just straight up. I really enjoy the creative aspect of things. So if like, let's say my book is called like the 10 lessons of the fortune cookie or something. Right. And then like each
so lesson, racist.
I know, but it's like, let's say like, it's like each lesson is something my mom taught me. Like each
Hey, page, the fortune cookie is an American invention, by the way.
Yeah. But like, let's say each page, like each first page of each chapter, I would want the cookie to be like half open and whatever lesson my mom taught me is already on that paper. So you know what
Super
I mean?
Cool.
So it'll like, it'll already say that. And then it'll be like something my mom taught me. And then like each chapter is based off of a lesson that my mom taught me. Like I would want something creative like that.
That sounds like a series.
Could be, I don't know. But yeah, but I'm actually really excited because again, it's one of those things like we talked about in another podcast. It's like another thing that I never thought I would do. I never
That's
thought
awesome.
I would be, I guess, an author. And I never thought I would write a children's book for that matter. Cause I'm so crass, you know?
Oh, we know, dude.
Yeah. But it's something I'm very passionate about. Like it's a story that I really want Taika to learn. And I hope that he actually learns it. And yeah. I feel like it'll help out an entire generation of kids too.
Yeah. That's awesome. You're doing it for the right reasons. Yeah. I mean, you could still be crass and have a crass children's book like that one called Go the Fuck to Sleep. Samuel L. Jackson did the voice.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Now, this one, it's actually not crass at all. The children's book's actually very, very kid friendly.
Are you going to use a pen name or is it by author Bart Kwan? Does it matter to you?
It doesn't. I kind of feel like for this one, because it's so personal, I do want it to say Bart Kwan. Because also the first page, the dedication page, it says, to my son, Taika, you have taught me more than you'll ever know.
What about your wife? Is she mentioned in there at all?
No, not at all.
Does she die in the beginning? Is she like a Disney movie?
Yeah.
Starts Isn't that right crazy? There. How all the Disney movies, all the moms are gone and like the kids are orphans?
It did, because they're from like a whole series, right? Like, what is that series of stories called? Oh, I forgot what it was called. But like, you know, like Snow White,
Cinderella.
They're all from like a certain series of stories, and it's just Disney took it. So Disney.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
Like Disney white label.
Been written by. Gotcha. Yeah, like
Disney white labeled these products pretty much and
something
branded
grim,
it.
Right?
Grim stories or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
Like so well, yeah, yeah. But they've already been structured that way.
I see. I thought it had something to do with that era. That was like the beginning of like broken, like divorced and broken homes. So I think they wanted
too. It's more relatable.
Yeah.
So yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's so interesting. I love it. I love all these little ideas that you get. Like you're such an artist.
Really?
And I absolutely love when you get inspired by something. You're like, oh, I want to create that. Cause like for you, there are no limitations. You know, like you're just like, I wonder. I want to try that. And then you try it and it's either cool or it's not. And then you're just like, oh, I did that. You know, like now you're doing the children's book, you know, like when we were first together, you were like, oh, I miss competing. And now look at us. We have a gym and yeah, a fucking full, you know, a full brand.
Yeah.
A fitness brand.
Yeah. That's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Like you started off like not knowing the sport existed, but just missing competing. And then now you competed, you got addicted. And like, so it's like, let's see what happens with this kid stuff. You know, like you might really love it and I might really love it. And then we just convert our whole life into just kid content now.
Or it might turn into a huge animation series on Nickelodeon.
Yeah. That'd be so sick. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's what I think it's dope about life, that it's like, literally every little decision you make shapes, you know, what your future looks like. So it's like taking all the shots as soon as you can.
That's one thing that's crazy is everything that you do later on is going to have a piece of what you've done in the beginning, whether you know it or not. So I think that's why it's so important to be present, but it's so hard when your life sucks in the beginning. You know, like even talking to going back to the first part of our quarantine, obviously, when you're only child and your parents are divorced, it sucks being the only one at home for hours on end every single day, right? And then, but if you're present and you're just taking all that in, that you are alone, it's okay to be alone. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Then you actually develop the superpower of like being able to be alone and being comfortable with yourself. And later on, you're in quarantine, and the quarantine is just a metaphor, but there's so many different ways of being quarantined later on. Mine just so happened to deal with COVID-19. But, you know, like, I feel like even when people are like 4-hour layover at the airport, they don't know what to do with themselves. For me, I'm like 4 hours, easy. 13 hours on a plane, easy. You know?
Yeah.
And I think because I've had that, and there's just so many things that as kids or even just as people, like even until now, that we think from like 1 to 15, you develop the skills that you might use from 16 to 30. But also if you look at yourself as an entire human being, the skills that you develop from 1 through 40 might be what you use from 41 to 80. You know, and just trying to be present and just try to like take it all in. There's so many lessons, so many cool lessons everywhere.
Yeah, there's a fuck ton of lessons all the damn time. Yeah, sometimes it could be kind of exhausting because you're just like, fuck. I don't know if a lot of people do that though. Like I remember having a friend and at this time she was just trying to figure her life out, you know? Granted, we're in her 20s, so I feel like that's just very natural.
Yeah.
But I remember talking to her. I think everyone in their 20s is... Well, you're not a loser. You're barely starting out, you know, like you don't have anything. You don't have anything.
Yeah, you're pretty much a loser.
Yeah. No, you're not a loser. You're barely learning. Yeah. But it was just so interesting to me when I like, you know, she was talking about a problem that she had. And, you know, from an outside perspective, it makes sense to you how to like help out and stuff. But, you know, I try to be the friend that helps their friend figure it out for themselves. So like, I remember going like, and I thought everyone did this. I was just like, hey, do you ask why you do that stuff? And they were like, or she was like, huh? No, I never really thought about it like that. And I'm like, yeah, you just have to ask, well, why do I do this? Or why do I think that? Or why did I feel that way? You know?
I think and if I'm you like, were to go back in school, instead of being a lawyer, I think you should be like a marriage family therapist.
Who, me?
I think you'd kill it.
I don't know, man. I think I feel too much and I carry too much with me.
So you'll take your work home.
Yeah. Like, I think I would be too drained because I really would want to help wholeheartedly.
I see.
And I think I would feel too much. And I, like, when I hear my friend's problems or whatever, you know, like I want to be there for them 100% and like so much so that I carry it with me and I'm thinking about it throughout the day. And I'm like, you know, just cause I care so much.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck, what can I do to help? Oh, I call him, did you think about this? Or let me text you. Hey, I just saw this opportunity. Here you go. You know? And like, my mind is now just completely captivated by, you know, how I can help. And I don't know if I would be a good marriage counselor or just a good counselor.
You think that's because you're personally invested because they're your friends? Because if it's strangers, it might be different.
No, I think even when I worked at a bank, for example, like people, you know, would sit at my desk and, you know, you're working and you try to get to know them and you have conversations. And then the more repeat customers you have, like now you know their life. So as soon as I hear something intimate, that's it, I'm invested. Because I know for me, it's not easy for me to share intimate details with just anyone. So once I do share intimate details, that means that I really trust this person. So because I feel that way about it, when other people entrust in me, I just assume that it took a lot. But maybe for them, it didn't. Maybe for them, they're just used to fucking saying everything to anyone all the time.
Yeah.
But so yeah, regardless if they're friends or strangers, I'm going to be invested because I'm like, wow, you trust me to tell me this stuff? Oh, shit. Okay. And I'm here.
I see.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd be good. But why? Why do you say that?
Just because just based off what you said, I feel like you would be good because you're so good at hearing people and you're so good at helping other people discover their own answers, which is what like a therapist is, you know?
Oh,
like,
true.
Like I would be horrible at being a therapist because I would just lecture them to death, you know? So they'll be like, fuck, I came here to search for my own answers. All I got are your answers, you know? So like, I think for someone like you, helps people find their answers, like you would be really, really good.
Yeah. Real quick, let me pause here. I'm going to introduce our next sponsor.
Shout out to our sponsor, Skillshare. I freaking love Skillshare. There's another company out there, which I will not name, but you guys know what I'm talking about. When I was looking for help to write my children's book with creative writing and also understanding plot and understanding like rhyme schemes, that other company did not help out at all. I go to Skillshare and there was all kinds of resources there to help me. So I highly, highly recommend it because sometimes the best doers aren't the best teachers, but they've done a really good job on Skillshare of screening some of the best teachers and with the most applicable knowledge. So in case you don't know what Skillshare is an online learning community with thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people. Learn new skills like writing, photography, web design, even interior design, and you can explore new skills and deepen existing passions and get lost in creativity. And at a time when so many important conversations are happening in our world, your voice is more essential than ever. So explore classes that may help you express what you're feeling through creative self-discovery. For me, that's writing the children's book. And Skillshare offers creative classes designed for real life and all the circumstances that come with it. These lessons can help you stay inspired, express yourself, and introduce you to a community of millions. Right now, you can explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/geo, that's G-E-O, and the first 1,000 people to use our link will get a free trial of Skillshare premium membership. You better believe that I'm going to use it because I'm going to need it for all my other books I'm going to write. Skillshare.com/geo, G-E-O. Be one of the first 1,000 to sign up at Skillshare.com/geo. There's only 1,000 spots, so don't wait.
And we're back. Yeah, maybe I got that from just the... not being an only child, because I obviously have brothers and sisters, but kind of like you, where I grew up by myself, you know, where I had to either be sad because of, you know, my parents didn't let me do something, or I didn't understand why I couldn't be there or partake in those activities or whatever. that I think I was either going to fall into major depression and fucking kill myself, you know, or I was just going to have to like figure out like, wait, why is this happening? Why did they reply like that? Like what? Like, I think I asked a lot of why with myself growing up. Cause I'm just like, I'm going to be fucking sad because I feel so alone, or I need to not be sad and figure out why. Yeah. So I think because of that, and I see how much like value it's added to my life. I like when I figure things out on my own. I like, you know, uncovering shit because I feel like it sticks with me more. I get it better. I appreciate it more. So I just assume everyone's going to react the same way. So that's why I'm always like, even with Taika, like I want him to be very self-sufficient.
Is that why he says why so many times?
I don't even think he understands.
Why?
Well, no, he also replies because.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey, go put your dirty clothes in the hamper. Why? Because. And I'm like, okay, you don't know what the hell you're saying.
No, yeah, he's just trying to figure out the world still.
Yeah, he's just copying what he hears.
I actually really enjoy it when he says why right now. Because I think he's putting things together and understanding the logic and the physics and the rationale of the world. So I'm like, when he asks like 10 whys, I try to be very patient and explain everything to him. But I think that way, once he like turns 5 or something, then if he asks why, and now it's based off attitude, I can launch him across the room.
Because, you're not going to launch him. You are so soft.
Because I'm like, I've taught you for 2 years. You know why everything is the way it is. Now you ask why again, you're going to see Taika fly out the window.
Yeah, right. He's probably going to pick your ass up at the rate that he's growing.
Yeah.
You're going to be a little shrimp by the time he's 6.
Yeah, right.
So tall.
You see how fat I am. I'm impossible to pick up right now.
Yeah, you're pretty fat.
Thank you.
What? You're the one that calls yourself fat. I'm just agreeing with you. I'm going along with the joke.
Fine, thank you.
It seems like you got sad. Why do you say thank you?
Because I am. That's, I think during this quarantine again, I mean, I was really chasing, I mean, not this quarantine, but like this whole year, I was really chasing my squats. I just put cardio on the side, and it's just really hard to do cardio with the mask. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to stick to strength training. Cause if you see
that
all my
videos,
sounds
like some bullshit to do cardio with the mask. You could run outdoors. You could do so many forms of cardio outside of the gym.
The mask? It's tough.
You don't need to wear them. You don't need to wear a mask if there's no one around you.
Oh, well, I don't know.
I see people jogging all the time. And like, cause I mean, our city at least is really dead and it's small. So like everyone that walks around is not wearing a mask.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So
like they go to a place where there's a lot of people congregating.
Yeah. Yeah. Then they put it on. Yeah. So for me, well, I also like doing circuits and stuff too. So, it was just too hard, but next year, you better believe next year, I'm going to get back to being leaner and fitter, lean, mean fighting machine. I'm excited.
Yeah. You did great when I was pregnant. Cause usually the dad gains just as much weight as the mom does.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, supporting, but you were very lean.
I was not supportive at all. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's usually that's the tone of our relationship.
I'm very supportive. What are you talking about?
Hey, you said it. Like, dude, how do you make this joke? I follow along and you get butthurt.
That's what, That's what you always do. You always do it and I jump on you and then you always get butthurt.
I know, but I'm the one that has a heart. You're the one that does it. You're the
heart.
Tin Man.
Nope. Forever, you can no longer say I have a heart. I'm a children's book writer. I have the biggest of hearts.
You haven't published shit. You can't give yourself a fucking author title just because you have an idea.
I am a children's book writer.
It's like me.
Have the biggest of hearts.
It's like me saying, oh, I'm going to write my own song one day. I'm like, hey, I'm a fucking music producer right now, right? I'm a recording artist.
I have touched the hearts of millions of children across the world.
Nobody even knows your story yet, you crazy. Hey, is it going to have like a Dr. Seuss like kind of feel where it's like this like wonky world? I love Dr. Seuss.
No, that world scared me as a kid.
Oh, really?
I couldn't read any Dr. Seuss though. It was too scary.
What a bitch.
Damn. I'm just kidding. Fucked up.
Again? Who the fuck are you right now?
I got a big
You've
heart.
Changed.
I have.
You've changed. I don't like you.
Yeah, no, no, Dr. Seuss, the way it was drawn, like even like the Grinch and stuff, it was just too scary.
The Grinch, I get it. I get it. Have you heard the Grinch Christmas song? You're a mean one.
Scary.
Mr. Grinch. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of, some parts are funny, but then it says like, you have like cockroaches in your smile. And I'm like, damn, that's some Tim Burton type shit. That's a Nightmare Before Christmas type shit.
Yeah. Now mine's going to be happy and it's going to be bright and it's going to be an awesome story.
Yeah. But don't call yourself an author yet.
Children's book writer, I said, with a big heart.
Oh my God. But you haven't even written it yet. It's still in the process.
Fine.
I'm just being a hater. But yeah, I feel a lot. I feel a lot of people's stuff. Maybe that's why I like to kind of keep to myself a little bit. You know, because I just feel big. I never realized how big I feel. Like I get invested so hard where I'm like, it's my problem now too. Let me help. So instead of feeling that way, I just kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what fucking traumas I'm working through.
Maybe that's why you're a huge introvert.
Because it's too much.
Yeah. Because Joseph, he's an extrovert because when he sees people, he feels like he's watching TV. So he just laughs at everyone.
Okay.
So he doesn't
feel it. I don't know how to take that. That's kind of fucked up.
So he doesn't feel it, you know?
Fuck that guy. I'm entertained. You know, the ironic thing is we're entertainment to him, but he's literally such a fucking thing to us that he's nothing but entertainment to the rest of the world.
He is. Yeah. He's very entertaining. Just him being who he is.
Yeah. Just him sitting there and just going, even when he says hi, because his hands are small, that like I'm entertained by that already.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he thinks we're the ones that are funny. Okay. You're a cute guy. I'm proud of you.
Me?
Yeah.
Why? Because I've sold a million copies already?
Yeah, because you don't have any barriers. You don't ever look at anything and go, nah, that's too far-fetched. Or nah, that's not my branding. Or no, that's too soft. Or that's too hard. Or whatever, you know? You're just like, I wonder. And then you already move in that direction. It never stays a thought for too long.
Yeah, I got to follow my heart. I like following my heart. Thank Especially you. Like after I sleep on it, you know? Like I don't like to be impulsive. That's not me either. Like I don't go like, tomorrow I'm going to be a makeup artist and then tomorrow I'm going to be an actor and tomorrow I'm going to be a singer and then tomorrow. Like I don't try to be impulsive. Like I really try to like marinate on ideas and see if I still feel them. And if I'm still excited about something like a week or two after I feel it, I'm like, oh, I think I should do it.
I wish you were a makeup artist. Can you imagine the amount of bonding we would be doing? Oh, that'd be so good. Maybe that's why girls do more guy shit, because it's a little bit more neutral than guys doing girl shit. You know, like
a ton of dude makeup artists.
Oh, there's a ton of dude makeup artists, but I'm just saying guys aren't really interested in shit like that, you know? And like, they can't really like shooting guns, right? Like that's like stereotypically a guy thing.
Yeah.
Girls can adapt it and do it themselves because it's not really a guy thing, right? Like anyone could shoot a gun.
Yeah.
But then with makeup, right? Like it's not necessarily for women, but women are like 99% the users.
Yeah.
Or it's not, now it's probably 80%.
Yeah, because it's not as practical. Like, right, if you need to shoot a gun, both guys and girls need protection. But guys don't usually put makeup on their own face. So if they already don't do that, why would they learn how to put makeup on?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why girls, I mean, we're just nicer than boys too, you know, but way whatever.
Nicer. Way nicer.
Oh, thanks. I was trying to go the other route, but it didn't help because you agreed with me. Whatever. But yes, I'm going to pause you real quick because I want to introduce our next sponsor. And thank you to one of my faves, Solitaire Grand Harvest. It's Solitaire with a twist, and it's the cutest twist ever. So I've already said this time and time again. You guys know I love playing app games. As soon as I put Tyka to sleep, I've taken care of Papa. I have me time. I get to decompress. I get to relax. I get to get centered. And I don't want to read about problems. I don't want to read opinions. I don't want to read bad comments. I don't want anything. I just don't want to think. I want to turn my brain off, and I just want to focus on beautiful settings. And this is where Solitaire Grand Harvest comes in. I just think it's fun. I just think it's a lot of fun, because we all know the regular mom and pop game of solitaire, where it's like you kind of flip a card over, and I like it, but it can get really, really boring because it's the same thing over and over and over again. This one, you're on a farm, and every time you pair the correct cards, you know, solitaire, like your typical solitaire, you get more corn, or you get different harvest, and it just makes it entertaining. And then the setting, like I said, the graphics are really, really cute. They're changing all the time. I'm just like really excited to see it. Like, it just makes me feel good inside. It makes me feel happy. So Solitaire Grand Harvest is, like I said, a super relaxing treat for the mind, full of fun and challenging levels you can play anywhere, anytime. It's solitaire like you've never seen it, and it's free. We all have free things, and it's free to play. So right now, whether you're stuck inside or just dreaming of the great outdoors, now you can have fun farm-style getaway right at your fingertips. So download Solitaire Grand Harvest for free today at the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Amazon. And we're back. But yes, I'm really proud of you.
Thank you.
I think it's really awesome. And it's so dope that Tyka gets to see this example of somebody that is constantly just evolving and trying new things and not setting limitations on themselves. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope that's what he sees. Or I feel like, you know, every kid, they always feel like their parents are losers. So there's going to be like, oh, my dad.
I never thought my parents were losers.
Well, most parents, they don't think their parents are cool. They always go like, you know, the stereotypical, like in junior high, mom, can you just drop me off over here? You're so embarrassing.
Well, I didn't think my parents were embarrassing. I thought our cars were embarrassing because we were poor.
Exactly. Same thing.
Yeah. But I didn't think we
get this car, dad.
I thought they were cool. Like, I thought my parents were like the best. I really looked up. I mean, I still do, but growing up, I really looked up to them, and I thought they were so smart, and I thought they had everything figured out, and they were so classy. Yeah. I was never embarrassed of them.
Oh,
just you little dick.
No, everyone. That's like a stereotypical thing. Drop me out of the corner.
Yeah, it is. I did hate, though, when my mom wouldn't let me hang out with my girlfriends like in middle school or like in high school. And she's like, you want to go to the movies? Fine. I'll take you guys. And I'm like, oh, God, just let me fucking live.
Yeah.
That was the only time I'm like embarrassed of her.
Hey, at least you got to go to the movies.
Your ass went everywhere. You had a car.
What? You said junior high.
Or high school. I said junior high, high school.
Yeah, high school. I earned it. I ran away from home enough times where they're like, forget about this kid. I earned my stripes. I earned my freedom.
No, you didn't. It wasn't earned.
Yeah.
You took that shit. You were a bad boy.
Exactly. I fucking busted an American Revolution on their ass. A Boston Tea Party, motherfucker.
Well, and then it paid off, I guess.
And then they're like, ah, oh, fuck it. You go self-govern. You go do your shit. I'm like, exactly.
Well, okay, that happened to me once. And then we talked about this on the podcast. But I ultimately got kicked out of my house. So then I never did it again.
See, you can't stop the first time. You got to do it over and over and over and over.
No, I'm a good girl. I loved my parents too much. The idea of like them suffering, like I even felt bad when I would come home after curfew, which was 10 fucking o'clock. Anyway, I wish it was like the fucking white shows that I used to grow up watching, where they're like, are you going to be home at 11? And the kid's like, 11:30. All right. And the parents would like give them that extra time.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, that's really nice. Or see you at midnight. I'm like, damn, that's really cool. I didn't have that shit.
I was watching Social Dilemma. You know, yeah, that super popular Netflix documentary.
Yeah.
And then the new bargaining thing is time on the phone.
Oh, like on apps.
Yeah. Cause you know, like before it would be like, you know, the one of the first personal things that you would bargain your parents for is maybe allowance. Can I get some money to do this? Right. And then it becomes like, can I have more time? Can I go out? Right. And then now they're finding like how much detriment or how crazy it is to be on the phone. So they're saying you got to limit the time that your kids are on the phone, or even yourself to, even if you're as an adult, you got to limit the time that you're on your phone. So now like they're like talking about how people are bargaining, and they always say with kids, what you want to do is let them dictate their own time, because usually they will overshoot it. And then so that way they don't feel this sense of resentment towards you, you know, because if you're like only an hour of phone a day, and they're like, fuck, my mom only gives me an hour, you know? But they're like, if you talk it out, they understand the logic. Hey, you don't want to be on the phone too much. You're going to fry your brain. There's too many, it's exhausting your dopamine. They have this thing called like dopamine dumps, where it's almost like pockets of depression, because you're hit with so much dopamine.
Yeah.
The whole time on the phone, that when you put your phone down, you ever like, when you're bored, like now you just kind of go, where's my phone?
Yep.
That's like a dopamine dump. You know, it's almost like, oh fuck, I just ran out of my crack hit. I need another hit. And it's very, very unhealthy. And then, so what they're saying is like, what you want to do is like, when you have the talk with your kid, ask them how much time they think they need. And then a lot of the times it's parents always think, oh, of course you're going to tell me 12 hours, but kids are self-governing. Like most people are self-governing. So they're like, they'll probably say something like reasonable. Like, can it be like 3 hours? Maybe like 3 hours after dinner, you know? And then,
damn, that's pretty cool.
And then you let them come up with it. And then that way, like they don't resent you because they got what they asked for.
Yeah.
And I thought that was pretty cool too. Cause I think like that conversation even helps out with curfew and money too. Cause that's something I really liked about my dad. Cause my mom and my dad are opposite. Like my mom would be like, I'm like, hey mom, I'm gonna go to the dance. Can I have some money? And it's like, how much do you need? I'm like, well, we're going to go to the dance afterwards and go to Denny's. And then, so I'm probably going to need like $30. And my mom like, well, here's 10, and you have to learn how to save. So you got to figure it out, you know? And then
what the fuck?
Because of that, I'm like, why then? I only have 10. I'll sell some drugs on the side, and then I'll for sure use all $10, you know? But then when I live with my dad be like, oh, you need 30? Well, here's 100. Try to use as little of it as possible, but in case something happens, you'll have the extra money. Someone's birthday, you could buy them lunch or whatever. And because of that, I end up using way less, because I'm like, because I know that if I don't use it, I get to save the rest.
Yeah. You can get whatever else you want later on down the line.
Yeah. So that I thought was actually
That's really cool.
That I actually thought that it was really cool. So that is a technique I would like to use with Taika when it kind of comes time to do stuff. Like, how much time do you need, or how much
money? That's awesome. Yeah. Dude, thanks for sharing that. Like, I love the way your parents taught you, or at least I love the lessons you took away from it. I don't know if they taught it to you that way, but I think, that's just your takeaway messaging. And I love that you're sharing that, because that's good to know. I didn't have any of that. There was no bargaining.
They're so different. So I think I got to learn a lot. You know, like the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki, where he talks about how his dad managed money, and how his like best friend's dad managed money. And his dad is actually the poor dad, and his friend's dad was the rich dad. Now he built wealth. And
you
see like the difference in mindset. I feel like I kind of had that with my own parents. Like they were just
so
different from each other that I got to like pick and choose things that I feel like, oh, this is really good for my mom. But this was good for my dad, you know.
That's really cool. Yeah, my parents were very very similar. They backed each other's like philosophies up a lot.
But that's also really cool, because they end up staying together, whereas my parents are so fucking different that they got a divorce.
I mean, it happens, man.
Yeah.
It happens. It's cool that there's that option. It's like, whoa, shit, I fucked up. Can I erase this?
The funny thing is,
they put white out.
Yeah, the funny thing is, the lessons that my parents taught me, they always end with how the other side is dumb. So it'll be like,
They still have to go in on each other.
Hell yeah. So my mom will be like, give me the $30. All right. I mean, here's the $10. I know you need 30. Here's the $10. But this will teach you how to save. Unlike your dad. Well, you can buy you his love, you know. And then my dad would be like, here's the $100. If you don't need to use it, that's awesome. You get to save it, but here's extra money. That way, in case an emergency happens, because you know your mom ain't gonna cover your emergencies. So both lessons always at the end of it, there's always a little bit of fucking throwing some salt.
You salty ass fucking parents.
Yeah, back and forth.
No, I'm just kidding. All right, Mr. Author Bart Kwan.
Thank you.
We got to think of a good pen name for you. We've reached the end of our podcast. Thank you so much for sharing all of your knowledge. I'm excited. I'm really excited for your author journey. I can't wait to see it. You did read it. You did read what you had so far, and it is really, really cute. I love the lesson in it, and I can't wait for the rest of the world to hear it. We have a lot of friends right now that are new parents, or, you know, they have kids already. So the fact that you get to like already give it to them and be like, hey, what are your thoughts? Give me your two cents and stuff. It's really, really cool. Cause you already have like an audience where that you can test it out on our friends.
Yeah.
And with that, I also want to say thank you to our sponsors. So thank you to our sponsor, Fight Camp. Right now, Fight Camp offers flexible financing for as low as 0% APR and $0 down. And right now, as a limited time holiday offer, get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with every Fight Camp package. So just go to joinfightcamp.com/bev. That's right. You're going to get free shipping and a gift valued up to $109 with your purchase. So bring an authentic boxing and kickboxing gym into your home with Fight Camp. So to get your free gift, just go to joinfightcamp.com/bail. One more time for the people in the back. Joinfightcamp.com/bail. And thank you to Skillshare, my personal fave. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/GEO. A new one for you guys, GEO. And the first 1,000 people to use this link will get a free trial of Skillshare Premium. Memberships. Ooh. Not just the regular one, the premium one.
I'm using it.
Yeah. Receive free access to thousands of classes for a limited time. So again, be one of the first 1,000 to sign up at skillshare.com/geo. And you know, I'm an app game connoisseur. So thank you to Solitaire. Whether you're stuck inside or just dreaming of the great outdoors, now you can have a fun farm style getaway right at your fingertips. Download Solitaire Grand Harvest for free today in the Apple App Store, Google Play, and Amazon.
And for the month of December, we have an awesome promotion going on at BarbellBrigade.com. Every single order that is over $100, you get our world famous, most popular human optimizing item, our performance greens. And it's packed with over 7 superfoods, and it has all these things to keep you healthy, like kale, broccoli, spinach, all that good stuff. Every single order, over $100, and the performance greens is a $30 value. So make sure, go to BarbellBrigade.com. It's for the month of December only. Everything you buy, over $100, come to the performance greens. See you guys next time. Bye-bye.